Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who will be listening over the internet around the world and downloading some of this to your MP3 players or your computers. We're happy to have you with us, and we hope that this message is a blessing to you. We're going to be talking about hope, and we're going to talk about resurrecting hope, that hope can be resurrected in you. If you're at a point where you feel like there is no hope in your life, there can be hope. And so don't give up. Don't get depressed. Don't be troubled, depressed, and in despair. There is hope. And we're going to be focusing on really one verse of Scripture in Colossians verses 1:23. And here Paul is saying, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, hope is a very important thing to have in your life. You see, there is an open door, and the open door to all the things of the kingdom is open right now. So the question might well be, how do we make access this hope that is there? You see, we must seek out these matters in God's Word. That's the only way we're ever going to know. We have to go to God's Word to seek them out. All the things of God come through the funnel of faith, and faith comes via the Word. The Word tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to have hope, and hope comes through that way, then we must be in the Word of God to understand it. Now, the Scriptures also tell us that, and you'll find this in Hebrews 11:16, without faith it is impossible to please God. It is not enough to believe in God, but you must also believe that He rewards those who seek Him. That's what it tells us there. Now, if you believe that God rewards you because you seek Him, because you're His, because you're in His kingdom and you're living in His kingdom, you have hope. You have joy. And the Word also tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's very, very important to keep these things in mind. That's one of the reasons that we want to go to God's Word and hide God's Word away in our hearts, to have it there so that it never departs from us. It never departs from our mouth. It is right there on the tip of our tongue at all times, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, with the Word of God on the tip of your tongue, you're less likely to say things that are not things that are godly. You're less likely to say things that are not things of faith. So it is so important that we understand the Word of God, that we've been in the Word of God, that we memorize the Word of God, that it is so familiar to us that it is within us, being used at all times. It seems reasonable that a person will not reach out for something if they do not believe that it's possible to attain or to get the thing for which they're reaching. Now think about this in your own life. Let me ask you this question. Why would you even try if you didn't think that you could achieve or have something that you could have? I will tell you this. You will never have those things which you do not believe that you can have, even in the natural. In the kingdom, things will come to you supernaturally as well as naturally. But even a person outside the kingdom, even a person in the mammon system on earth, will not have something if you do not believe that you can do it. Why would you? I would imagine, how many of you have ever set out to do something you knew you couldn't do? Did you ever, as you were a child, did somebody say, you can do this, and you said, no, I can't, and you had a great difficulty with it, and then suddenly you were able to do it? That happened to me with riding a bicycle. I didn't think I was ever going to get to learn to ride a bicycle. But people kept saying, oh, yes, it'll just come to you. You'll get on it one day and you'll just ride off. Well, I found that hard to believe. But you know what? One day I got on my bicycle and I just rode off. And it was like I had always been riding the bicycle. because I just learned how to keep my balance. Suddenly it all came together. But if we didn't think that we could do something, if we didn't believe that God would do something, if we just didn't have the hope of being able to do it, the hope is that we know we have it and we need to access it. If we didn't believe that we had that, we would never do anything or achieve anything. So it's very important to have this hope. And if you've not, if this hope is sort of waning, it is my hope that as we go through this, it is my desire, it is my firm prayer that you will realize your life is not hopeless. We know the scriptures tell us in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's Proverbs 13:12. Now, maybe some of you who are listening to me have had hope deferred. And have you ever just said, oh, when that happened, my heart just sank? You see, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Not only that, it can make the heart so sick that the not only just the heart of your perception, not only just the heart of your spirit, but it can eventually transfer into your physical heart as well. Just the stress of continual deferred hope can affect you physically just as much. By the time it's affecting you physically, you know that it has affected you tremendously in other ways. One of the things that we must be very careful to guard is we must be very careful to guard that the scriptures speak to us and that we have them. Because if we're not able to recall those scriptures, we're not able to fight off all the things that the world throws at us. And believe me, the world will throw things at you. The world will do everything it can to overcome you so that you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. It's like when you wake up, you just want to pull the covers back up because you don't think anything good's going to happen today. It's an interesting thing when that happens because it's devastating to people. You see, a person, therefore, who has not seen things for which they have had hope becomes discouraged and downcast, perhaps even defeated in life. You cannot imagine the number of people that I have encountered who were defeated in life. They just felt like they would never win. They would never accomplish. They would never be on top. Remember what I said, they felt like that. They felt as though that was true. And what happened? They simply gave up. They didn't try to follow through. Why try? Why try? It won't do any good. That's what they will say. These people often have no joy or pleasure in their lives. They are often simply waiting to die. They just develop an attitude of, well, one day this will all be over, and I'll just try to struggle to get through it. I had an exciting thing happen recently. A person that I have been in contact with for many, many years, suddenly that light bulb came on, and they realized that all the negative they had been fed as a child, saying that they were ugly and that they were stupid by people in their family, it suddenly came on, and they realized that wasn't true. And they realized that they had allowed that to hold them back for year after year after year. And in this case, decade after decade. You cannot imagine how excited they were when they realized what they had done and the ways that they had modified their own behavior, changed the way they would do things to bring about themselves looking exactly like what people had said they were rather than what God said they were. My friend, you are what God says you are, not what someone else says you are. That's an important thing to remember. Never let anybody steal your joy. Never let anybody steal your understanding of who you are and what God created you to be and what God can do in, around, and through you if you'll just let Him. But many of these people, they miss that. They've not heard the good news of the scriptures, maybe. They've never heard the good news of the freedom that is in Christ to understand why He created you and who you are. And so they look to other people and they believe other people. And those people may be just as lost as they are in life. As a matter of fact, many people go around telling people that they're stupid and they're ugly just because they need to have people that they think are smaller than they are. They just put people down because it makes them feel like they're bigger. That's not the way it is in the kingdom. If you're in the kingdom and you're around people who claim Christ and they behave that way, you need to pray for those people because those people are deceived. We need, in the body of Christ, now if you're a believer, you need to be edifying and building up each other. You need to be telling people, yes, you can. And you can because you can do, not because I say you can or somebody else says you can. Why can you if you're in the body of Christ? You can because the Scripture says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. You can. Scripture informs the believer that the joy of the Lord is their strength. I mentioned that earlier. So we must believe in the Lord with all our heart and not lean and be involved in our own understanding. As a matter of fact, if you read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's going to tell you that very thing. You see? We must believe in the Lord and what He says and what His Word says with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. We have, in all of our ways, we must acknowledge Him, and then He will direct our path. Not somebody who says to you, you can't do this, you're stupid, you're ugly, you'll never amount to anything. Not that sort of person. God says, yes, you can, because I created you. And I created you not to fail, but to succeed. I created you not to be defeated, but to be victorious. That's what He's done with you. That's why you're here. That's why you exist. That's why you can hear my voice. So if you can hear my voice, the difference will be with how you process it once you've heard it. Because everybody's hearing the same words, but they may be processing those words very, very differently, just simply because of the way they perceive themselves. Remember the story of when they sent the spies into the Promised Land. And what happened? They all came back saying it was everything they said. How many times have you looked something in your own mental promised land? I will say and be willing to suppose that in your mind you have a promised land that you see for yourself. Just as those spies who went in to Canaan saw the promised land that God had offered them. And then in the process of looking at that, they were just amazed. And when they came back to tell the story of what they had learned when they were there looking at the promised land, 10 of the 12 said what? Oh, it's all just the way God said, but. Now there's where they went wrong. But. But we can't do it. But we are as grasshoppers in our own eyes. Notice, it's how they perceive themselves. They left God out of the equation altogether. He said that He was going to send them in. He'd already given to them. All they had to do was go out and do what He told them to do. And they didn't do it. Two of them, however, said, oh, sure we can. God said we could. You know, it doesn't matter. We can just go. And that whole generation, with the exception of those two, had to die off before they could go into the Promised Land. Because they were out of bondage. They had come out of Egypt. They were no longer in bondage in Egypt, but bondage was in them. Now I want to ask you to do this just for a moment. I want you to look inside yourself and say, what bondages are inside me that hold me back, that keep me from being what I want to be, keep me from doing what I want to do, to keep me from looking like what I want to look like, to keep me from being happy instead of sad? What are those things which get in my way that are just in me? There's nobody outside me. It's just in me because I have been deceived. If you've been deceived, I will tell you, in the name of Jesus, you go through your life and you begin to bind those things up. You cast those things out of you because they weren't put there by God. Victory was put there by God. Overcoming was put there by God. Not defeat. That was not placed there by God. So you see, we cannot lean to our own understanding. The things of the kingdom are the things that we must learn to understand. We must learn those things. We must allow hope to be resurrected. Many people had hope when they were children, and the older they get, the less hope they have. How many times in your growing up has somebody said to you, oh, well, one day you'll understand because you'll be an adult. Did everybody say that to you when you were a child? Because you'll be an adult. And you'll find out how difficult life is. You cannot go by somebody else telling you something like that. Because they made poor choices in their life. They're going to try to program you to think that you cannot have something, to think that you cannot do something, to limit you, because they limited themselves. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's the people closest to us who do that. If you think in your own life, I'll tell you that it's probably the people closest to you. Now, maybe they didn't even mean anything to happen bad to you by that. Maybe they meant only good for you, but they kept filling you full of what you couldn't do rather than what you could do. It is sad that this happens, but it does happen. This darkness of vision can only be improved by fellowship with God in the Word, in the Spirit, and in our deeds. First in the Word, because that's how we get the faith to understand. Then it comes into our spirit and we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, then we are built up inside ourselves. We build up ourselves inside by the time and the quality of time that we spend with the Holy Spirit. And that changes our deeds. You know, we live in a world where it says your deeds make you. Well, that's the mammon system. That's not the God system. In the God system, your spirit and your relationship to God, that makes your deeds. That shapes your deeds. Can you see that? It's the old Charlie the Tuna commercial in the United States. We had a commercial where Charlie the Tuna was always trying to look good and talk good and be so acceptable. And they would say to him, sorry, Charlie, we want tuna that tastes good. You see, that's what they were after. They didn't want tuna that had good taste in the things they did. They wanted tuna that tasted well. That very thing is the thing that holds people in a grip in their lives. And sometimes their whole lives end up being only a faint shadow of what they could be and what they could accomplish through Christ. Now notice I keep coming back to Christ. It's through Him, through His Spirit in us, that we're able to accomplish. Not through what we say we want to do and then we want God to bless it. We have to go to God and say, what do you want? What is your purpose in my life when we're in His kingdom? And that has already been blessed. Do you understand you can spend years asking God to bless what you're going to do and never really accomplish much? But you can spend time in the Word and time with the Spirit of God and find out that what you're doing has already been blessed. You don't have to ask for it to be blessed. It has already been blessed because it was His plan for you. That's where the true joy and happiness comes in life. But it can be so dark because of darkness of vision. The Apostle Paul had faith, he had hope, and he had love. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 13:13. In the King James Version, it says faith, hope, and charity. Abide with the believer, and the greatest of the three is love. Now, why would the greatest of the three be love? Why would that be? Because the Scripture says that God is love. That's why it is. God is love. 1 John 14:6 tells us God is love. That's why it's the greatest thing mentioned there. Because God is love. And we know from the Scripture that if you're fearful, that perfect love casts out fear. Not perfect faith. I hear people all the time saying, well, if I just had more faith, I wouldn't be so fearful. No, no. That's not true. If you had more love, if you were closer to the perfect love, you get close to God, that perfect love will come into you, and then you'll know there's nothing to fear. You'll know there's nothing to fear. When you were a child, did you ever have a time when you were fearful and maybe you ran in and hopped in bed with a parent or something or whatever, because you knew that if you were with them, you were safe. You know, at that point in your life, you thought they were the biggest thing around and they could handle anything that came up. Well, God is that way. So you must be draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Hope is necessary in the pursuit of the things of the kingdom, because with faith comes hope. And faith comes how? Faith comes by the Word. You see, faith and hope are traveling companions. Faith and hope are much more than concepts. The Spirit brings us hope to lift us up. God is never trying to push us down. The enemy, the adversary, Satan tries to push us down all the time. But God is always lifting us up. As a matter of fact, we have been lifted up. But we may not know it. Because our relationship may have waned with them, or maybe you've never started a relationship with God to know that. Please understand, hope is not a wish. Hope and wish have become synonyms, really, in today's culture. But they've not always been so. That's not always been the case. Beware of Satan's devices in corrupting words. One of the best examples is the word bad, which on the streets has become a synonym for good. You've heard people say this, particularly young people. They'll say, oh, you're bad. You're really bad. You see, the scriptures say that in the last days, what's going to happen? The scriptures say that good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. That's what it says in the Word. Notice, as these words have changed, things which were once thought of as unthinkable in public have now become acceptable. Hope is not something you want, but hope is in something you already have. If you have God, you have hope, because you already have that. You already have the promises of God. You don't have to pray for God to give you what you want. He's already given you what you need, and beyond that, He's given you, pressed down, shaking together, more than you can ever conceive of if you will stay in His Word, if you will draw on the hope that He has already there for you. This is why, if the Spirit of Christ lives in you, then Christ is your hope. Therefore, the believer is to cherish a desire with an anticipation. You see, hope and relating to God is an anticipation, because you believe that any minute it's about to happen. And you trust that God is faithful to His Word, just as He demonstrated to Israel. Try looking at Nehemiah 9:8 for an example of that. He demonstrated this to Israel over and over, as well as the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Now, you talk about trust. Jesus had to allow Himself to die. Now, understand, nobody killed Him. He gave up His spirit. People say that the Jews killed Him or this. No. Nobody killed Him. He willingly gave up His spirit. But you see, it's very important to understand that Jesus trusted God the Father to raise Him up from the dead as He relied on the hope of God's promise. Now, can you think of anything in your life? Can you think of anything in your life that would be a greater area of trust than you would be raised up from the dead? I can't. I can't think of anything that would be greater than that. Now, we must trust in the hope of God to understand that we walk in the blessing, God's blessing, which gives us the fruit of the blessing, which is what we often refer to as blessings from God. But if you're walking in the blessing, you will get the many little blessings that are there. But let's for a minute go back to Jesus trusting that He would have been raised, when He would be raised from the dead. Is it not interesting that people do not trust God? I'm talking about people who say they're believers, often do not trust God to heal them, often do not trust God to supply their needs, but they're convinced that one day He will raise them from the grave and have them meet Him in the air. Now think about that. Why would you believe that way out there and not be able to believe that He would do something in your life today? That makes no sense. But Satan will make you think it makes perfect sense. Because he'll twist it and he'll turn it. So we live in a state of hope as believers, as we trust God to do all He promises with an assurance, a reliance on His character, ability, and strength. You see, our reliance on God is, we're not relying on our character, ability, and strength. We're relying on His character, His ability, and His strength. Now, how do we know that God is going to keep His word? As believers, we know, but those of you who are not believers hearing my voice, you may not have the foggiest idea, may not have any idea at all how we could rely on that. But believers must understand that the Holy Spirit of God resides in them, and this is God's deposit to prove His faithfulness, that He will do all He has promised in this life and in eternity. 2 Corinthians tells us that. In 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 and 5:5. Also in Ephesians 1:13 and 14. You see, we must know where these scriptures are. We must memorize these scriptures. We must commit them to memory because, as I said earlier, we want them on the tip of our tongue so that when the enemy comes to us, we can, and sometimes the enemy will come to us through somebody else. They don't know that the enemy's using them. But the enemy will come to us and try to convince us that, oh, this isn't real. This is why it is so important that a believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the Spirit is doing things. So God is carrying out His kingdom, but He's also confirming to you. Because the deposit of the Holy Spirit in you is like a person who goes to purchase land. And to show that they are serious and intend to keep their word, they put up surety money to show they will be faithful to carry out their promise to make the purchase. That's why you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you. Because it shows you, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in me, then I have nothing to fear. You see? Because I am near to, I am close to, I am communing with, I am in fellowship with, what? Perfect love, because God is perfect love. I hope this makes sense to you, because this is the way that God has designed things. But if you're not careful, you find yourself looking at the way the world designs it, and then you find yourself just going to the throne saying, oh, please fix it, fix it, fix it, rather than going through your life knowing it's already been fixed for you. Rather than expecting it to work out, you expect something to go wrong. You know, I often talk about people who are positive. They're positive something's going to go wrong any minute. That is not positive. And when you talk about positive, I'm talking now here more than just positive thinking. I'm not talking about psyching yourself up. I'm talking about relationship with the Holy Spirit, with that part of the Godhead that resides in you. And has been placed there as a deposit. Think about this. God knew that there could be doubt planted in you from Satan. So what did He do? He planted a part of Himself inside you to prevent that from happening. So that deposit was there. And to know that Jesus was going to come one day, and if you were still alive, you would see people come from their graves and meet Him in the air, and then if you were still alive, they would go too. If you were in your grave, that you would know that you would be raised up again to a new life. Now, that's a marvelous thing. That is a marvelous thing. There is a hope. There's a hope. But He left the Holy Spirit here to empower us and as a deposit, that we would know He would come back and collect us again. The Holy Spirit of God resides in the believer. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is in there. Now, you may need to be filled with the Spirit in such a way as that you know He's in there. And all you need to do is ask, and you will receive that. That's all you had to do to receive your salvation. Just ask. In fact, the Scripture says to the believer that the same Spirit, as I said, that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in them, Romans 8, 10, and 11. We must not only believe God exists, but we must even trust God to keep His word in all matters. This is the time spoken of in prophecy. Right now, where we are, this is the time in which we live, is the time spoken of in prophecy. The open door is open for the greater works. We need to walk through it into the promise of God. Just read 2 Corinthians 1:20. You see, Christ has opened the door. All we do is He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Anything that is not of Christ, anything that is not from the Word, which is Christ, is not of God. Those are the things we need to shun and pay no attention to. We need to attend to the things of God. We need to believe in the things of God. We need to be able to understand the things of God. My friends, we need to be in fellowship with God. We need to let the Holy Spirit work in and through us. And when the Holy Spirit works in and through us, we know the deposit is there. When things happen that we know that in our own strength we could not do, we know the deposit is there. We know that we have faith. And because we have faith, we have hope. And because we have hope, we can love and we can spread love because we are in fellowship with perfect love, which is God. Now you may say, oh, that all sounds good, but until I've heard you talk just now, that never meant anything to me. And suddenly, now that I hear this, because I've heard the Word of God now, I actually want to believe. I actually want Christ to come into my heart. I want to be with Him. Well, if that's the way it is, if you can feel the Father drawing you, because you're hearing the voice of God if you're hearing that, you go to the throne and you ask Him. You ask Christ, come into my life, come into my heart. Give yourself to Him, and He will put you in His perfect plan, where what will happen in your life is already blessed. You'll not have to ask for it to be blessed. It will already be blessed, and you'll know it's blessed. Oh, does that mean you're never going to have any rough spots? Oh, no. Because when you have a rough spot and He pulls you out, He not only proves Himself to you, but He proves Himself to the non-believer. Because that person needs to see what He can do in and through you in order that they'll believe as well. But all this is built on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you go to the throne right now. Go to the throne right now with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to the throne boldly right now because Your Word says I can come. I'm not an outcast. I'm a person that's being drawn in but pulled out of the world. I have been called out, and I accept that calling. I want Jesus to come into my heart and into my life and to take over my life. I want to serve Him. I'm sorry for the times that I've ignored You. I want to be His. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, you now have that hope. If you prayed a similar prayer to that with me just now, or you want to pray a similar prayer to that because you came to Christ at one time, I'm telling you, my friend, you can resurrect hope. Hope can be resurrected in you. God's not trying to keep people out. He did not design hell for mankind. He designed it for Satan and the angels that were cast out of heaven with him. It was never designed for us. He will not really send anybody there. We can send ourselves there simply because we'll be judged by the Word. The Word is there, and that's how we'll be judged. But if you've accepted Christ, you're not going to be judged in that fashion. You're in the kingdom of the blessing. Resurrect the hope of the blessing in you. Get back in the Word. If you've never been in it before, if you prayed the prayer for the first time with me, then get into the Word of God. Go to the Gospel of John. Don't start at the front of your Bible in Genesis. You go to the Gospel of John, and then the next book will be the book of Acts. Do John and Acts. If you want some help with this, you contact me. Send me an email. thesojourner@sojournershub.org. That's thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Or if you're on Skype, you can contact me on Skype. thesojourner3734. That's thesojourner3734. I'll be happy to work with you. We'll be happy to get information to you. We want to be of any help or assistance we can be. to help bring about all that God has for you. Well, that brings our time together to a close. So I'll finish out with this blessing. Please remember, contact me. We'd love to work with you on it. I'd like to help you with it. I'd like to get information to you. So this is the blessing that I have for you to give to you. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.